Well, I wish you a blessed feast day of Our Lady's Annunciation. It's transferred from yesterday, the 25th, when it is supposed to be celebrated, because yesterday we were having Passion Sunday and thinking all about our Lord and his sufferings, which lead us now into Holy Week. But today is a great day of joy and of rejoicing. And for those of you who have come to the solemn Mass this morning, you may certainly consider yourself as dispensed from the Lenten fast. After some time for lunch at about 1:15, we'll have the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, the Rosary, and then at 2 o'clock, we conclude our adoration of the Blessed Sacrament with the Vespers and the final benediction to mark this very special and beautiful holy day. Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Fathers, and dear faithful and school children and children. One of the benefits, I think, of living in the internet age is that of coming across interesting little videos. I understand that some of you have shown some talent in the production of them, and I can't say as I'm surprised, because I know that you're a very talented bunch. I came across one myself the other day, and it was a very funny, short little one, as you see sometimes. It was about a toddler, the age of 3 or so, who was conducting his own version of the Novus Ordo. You know, children, when you're very little, if you're lucky and you get to sit up front and see the Mass, that's when you learn it. That's why it's always a shame if little brothers or sisters are so busy being bad that they only make it out and they never make it up, because then they miss all that they could be learning. Because about the age of 2 on to 3, that's when your mind can absorb all of that. And that's why, one reason, sometimes children, when they come home from church, play church at home, which is a wonderful way to play and to learn, put all of these lessons of the Mass into practice. Now, the Novus Ordo is not really a Mass, but it's sort of a parody of a Mass. It has some of its parts, and it was funny to see this little toddler. He was so little, but he understood and he imitated. Always have to watch out for little children, because children do see and they imitate. And so this little boy was sort of jumping around, and he had a certain way of chewing the host exactly as a Novus Ordo would do, and things like that. Well, at some point he leaves his little altar and he goes to his little lectern, and his father announces, well, he was using for his lectern book, not a missal or anything, but a Disney fairy tale book. And then he adjusts it, and then he goes back again to the table again, and he concludes his little service. Well, in that, of course, he wasn't too far off either, because the church herself uses a storybook, and she has the best stories of all. Disney stories are just that. They're just stories. They're not really true. Whereas our stories are the truth. And we never grow tired of them, no matter how old you are. You're all of you, as Catholics, a little bit like a little child. Were you that way when you were little? You had your own favorite storybook, a bit like that toddler with his Disney tales, and you lugged it around with you from place to place, and you were always looking for someone to read you your favorite story. And it didn't matter how many times you've heard that story, you always want it read to you, and read to you in exactly the same way as before. And if someone can't read it to you, well, perhaps you could tell the story yourself, because you know it by heart. That's how we feel about the Annunciation. A picture is worth 1,000 words, but we're left to our mind and imagination today, as all of our pictures are covered over in purple, aren't they? Never mind. We've got a pretty good idea. We know the story by heart, even if you don't have a picture for the shrine of the day in church to see Mighty Gabriel and the Blessed Virgin Mary. Every time, that's why I think this is our favorite story as Catholics, every time we pray our Hail Mary, we should say many a day, just on their own. If you're tempted, I mean, or you have to make a decision, or you've got a minute, say a Hail Mary. And every time we pray our Angelus, are you good with your Angelus? Do as the French do, attach it to a meal. The French love to eat, and they would never consider missing a meal, but at least they always pray to God first, and they always say their Angelus before breakfast and lunch and dinner. And that way, every day, they say their Angelus. Whereas many of us, I'm afraid, if we make it once a day, we consider ourselves pretty pious. But no, we say it morning, noon, and night, this story. We never grow tired of hearing it. And then, of course, when we do our rosary, in the evening, our family rosary, here at church, we say our first joyful mystery on certain days of the week, and that's the Annunciation. We love to tell, and we love to listen to this story. It's a story of the great God who comes down to earth. There was something on the internet, too. I didn't quite understand it. But I think it's some kind of a picture that you can see now that's taken with a very high-power telescope that indicates the presence of countless solar systems in the universe. A solar system, all these planets around a sun, like our sun. God made them all, and he made you, and he made himself like you, a little child. And this is the day that it all started. Whenever we come to Mass, that's the story that we tell as well, that long wait for God's coming all throughout the Old Testament. You know how it is, you're waiting for Mass, and if you get here early, then maybe somebody turns the lights on, and then eventually someone might shuffle out and light the altar candles, and then if it's a fancy Mass like today, there's going to be some music. You might hear that, and then eventually the bells will ring, and the incense will come out, and a great procession. Or at a regular Mass, the priest might come out all by himself if he has no altar boy, or with another server or two, and the prayers at the foot of the altar, the Kyrie, asking God to have mercy, the Gloria, reminding us of Christmas, and then the lesson or epistle, and how the book gets moved from one side of the altar to the other. That's moving from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We're telling the story of God's coming again, and everything stands for something else till we come to the consecration. And in the consecration, Father leans over and he whispers silently, just as Gabriel came at midnight and whispered silently to the Blessed Virgin Mary, that she was chosen to be the Mother of God. The story is always told slowly, you have to be patient, and secretly. It's a secret, but as we sing in one of our hymns, it's like a secret getting known upon the earth. We're meant to know the secret, but it is a secret still. And last of all, the story is told sweetly. It's a sweet story. For example, think of Gabriel. You know, if you or I were to see an archangel, children, probably we would have a heart attack or a stroke or just drop over dead because they're so beautiful and powerful. They have to disguise themselves. Well, of course, the Blessed Mother was frightened when she saw the great archangel. And she was even more scared because she was so humble when the archangel was praising her. And she thought she was just the least of God's servants. She didn't like that at all. And that really frightened her. That's a good fear to have, the fear of being praised. That's not very popular, though. Well, what did Gabriel do? He stopped in his angelic tracks, folded in his wings, and very patiently and respectfully explained to Blessed Mother, to dear Mary, Noli te Mary, he said, don't be afraid, Mary, don't be afraid. And she's so humble, as soon as the angel says that, she does what he says. Wow, she's obedient. She just does what he says. And then Our Lady's got a question. She raises her hand very meekly. How can this be, she says, because she's a virgin. She consecrated herself to God. She will never know man. How could she have a baby? It's not like her cousin Zachary. He saw Gabriel too. He was an old man and an Old Testament priest, and he was offering up incense one night in the temple for the 6 p.m. sacrifice, and Gabriel came to him, and he was sort of an old geezer. He had his own ideas about things. When you grow old, you either get to be more and more childlike and sweet and holy and pure, or else you get to be very sort of set in your own ways and stubborn, and that's the end of the story. Well, that's how he was. And he objected. He said, well, that's just ridiculous. Go away. Gabriel didn't like that, and I'm afraid he got to be punished. And he couldn't speak for 6 months as his punishment because he wouldn't believe. Blessed Mother wasn't like that. As soon as the angel gave the explanation, the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. She didn't really understand what that could mean. Who could? But she understood it was God's will and God's way. And she said, yes, be it done unto me according to thy word. And God, who made all those solar systems and who made you, who made this earth and everything, God became her little baby in her heart. That's the joy and the mystery of today, of the Annunciation, of every Hail Mary and every Angelus and every joyful mystery first and every Holy Mass first to last. And you could spend the rest of your life as you grow up, children, until you're old and gray, hearing that story over and over again, and you'll never get tired of it. You'll always find it interesting, and you'll always be learning something more. You could? You will. We're Catholics. This is the storybook that we will take around with us for the rest of our life. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.